It's another episode of Person of Interest with me, Natalie Jones. How you doing? This week, we have Rudy Harris. So I met Rudy Harris actually through my film contacts and my old boss, actually, from the Mountain Film Festival that's out of Colorado. And y'all know I used to live in Telluride, talk about it all the time. And he hooked me up with this guy and was like, you got to meet him. We did a project together. And then we just became friends and buddies, and now we're doing a whole lot more projects together that I'm excited to show you guys when it all comes out and let you know. But Rudy is a pretty great guy. So we started this in 2008, and this is the whole story of it, and I just absolutely love it. And congratulations, he and his wife Tammy, they do this together, and they just announced that they are pregnant, which is very, very, very exciting. So please enjoy. This is Rudy Harris. They are out of Newport, Kentucky, here locally in the Cincinnati area. And he's a great begging guy. And here is the story of his success. But let's start and do a mic check.
What do you want me to say? Check in one, a little bit.
How are you going to be talking throughout this?
Like this volume? About? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it.
All right, cool. Get comfy.
Unless the spirit moves.
I must say thank you. You are, this is my first week of podcasting from home. Is it really? So it's all work in progress. When you come back, it might be something completely different, but this is
when
what
I
we're
come
doing
back.
Now. Yes.
Not cart before horse, I think.
Well, you know, after you win your Oscar, then I'll be like, I got to talk to you now. Oh, I knew him when. We're going to circle back.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Rudy, what did you eat for breakfast?
Are we recording right now?
Mm-mm.
You lie.
This is the warm up.
You're a liar.
This is the warm up.
Liar. What did I do for breakfast?
Yes.
I typically have a chocolate and sugar.
Really?
But today, yeah. Yeah, you're not part of this, Heidi. Go away.
Heidi. God.
A chocolate and sugar, typically. But today I felt a little special. So at Carabello, I got a croissant.
A croissant. Yeah. What flavor did you get?
Just regular. Just a good traditional regular croissant.
You can never, I don't think there's like a bad kind of croissant, honestly. I get really, I need to finagle this here. Mm-hmm. I get really into pastries, and I'll go through like phases of I can only think about eating pastries, and there's nothing else I can really do.
Mm.
Croissant is always in that list, or scones.
I typically go through phases of breakfast. Mm. Like I'll have the same thing for a few months. And then it's like, all right, I'm done with that. And then my wife will go, are you still good with this? I'm like, no, I'm going to change it up.
Ah.
It's like rotates between ensure just one or like an English muffin with something on it, like peanut butter or something.
Yeah.
And then cereal. Those
gotcha.
Are the three. Because I don't like eggs, like at all.
Really?
As an ingredient, yes. But as like, here, have this thing. No, it's weird. It's gross.
Really? Have you always hated eggs?
Always. Whole life. Really? I was a really, really picky eater as a kid.
Really?
Like, to a weird level.
Mm.
And it all started when, because I didn't like onions, still don't. Heidi just found that out. The whole office found that out yesterday.
Did you ruin somebody's food that they brought for you? And you were like, I cannot.
No.
There are onions in it.
No. I'll just be like, all right, fine, I'll have it. But I told my mom with spaghetti and sauce. My mom was like scratch making sauce, which now I realize was not the case.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But she said... there was onions, and I bit into it. And I was like, Mom, if there's one onion one more time, I'm never eating this again. And it happened. I also went on a hunger strike, which I don't remember. But my dad told me this like a few years ago, that I was so picky that my dad was like, listen, if you don't eat what we have, you're not eating. And I was four, and I was like, bring it. And apparently I didn't eat for like 48 hours. So my dad was like, he's actually going to kill himself.
And you were like four.
So he went to McDonald's and got me chicken nuggets.
You know what?
I didn't know that until recently.
None of this is surprising because I feel like that behavior is totally like passion, obsessive people who do really great things. Mm. And like, and that's an artist brain. 100%.
For sure.
Which is you, which is so good. Isn't it cool when you hear stories like that? Like, that's a new story for you when you were like, I've been this way since the beginning.
I've been a jerk since I've been four. Oh, okay. I'm stubborn since 4 years old. Copy that, Dad. Thanks.
I love moments like that. You're like, okay, all right. It is nature. It's not always nurture. There's a lot of nature in there as well.
For sure.
Someone recently, an aunt that I haven't seen in a while, sent a picture to my dad, or like sent like a, she was going through old boxes and like took a picture of a picture and sent it to my dad. And it's all the cousins. They're like 20 of us. And I'm in the front and I have, oh, it's on my Facebook. So it's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm like covered in bows all over my face and I'm five and everyone is smiling just calmly. And I'm like, and all this stuff. And I was like, well, shit, man, from day one, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I think moments like that are really great. Full circle, you know?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So Rudy, when did you, okay. So you're from the Cincinnati area.
Yeah.
You're from Kentucky?
Highland Heights.
Highland. Yeah.
I'm a camel. Campbell County High School. I'm a camel.
I just like saying Campbell County.
Campbell County. And yeah, so I was a camel, Highland Heights, Kentucky. My parents still live in the same house that I lived in my whole life until I moved out.
That's amazing. Talk about stability. I'm jealous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
It is. I was fortunate that a job, well, the last job before I had, you know, started the business, that I got to travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love this area, and well, me and my wife will stay in this area probably forever, but I do enjoy traveling and seeing.
Where were you before? What was that? What did you do?
It was a company called Zone Communication Group. It is now changed. It's merged. It's whatever. But I was actually let go from that job 5 weeks before my wedding.
Wow.
It was an amazing present.
Really?
No, it wasn't. It was terrible. It was the worst thing ever. At that moment, it felt like this is it.
Yeah.
This is crumbling. My life is crumbling.
Oh.
And my father-in-law looked at me across the dining room table, Tom, and I love my in-laws, and Tom looked at me, who when I asked I did the traditional, like, can I marry your daughter? He had told me, she's my baby girl, and looked at me, and he's also a shotgun dad, like, for real, yeah. Like, for real, for real. but so my father-in-law is looking at me like, all right.
What you gonna do?
It's time to toughen up. You don't have that creative video job. You better go. You better work. No, that's not what he said at all. He didn't. He was just like, what are you going to do? So then my dad was actually like, man, you're young. You guys don't have any kids. You basically don't have any debt. You're already doing it on the side, on our own. He's like, you might as well just try. You don't want to look back. He's like, you don't want to look back at my age and go, man, I wonder what would have happened had I tried.
That's great advice.
So we did it. It was scary. Very scary. We had a very bad start. Like, not bad. That sounds more dramatic. We had $1,000 at all to our name. And my wife didn't know this until years later. I don't know if you've ever... We have Heidi in the studio today. She's an employee of ours. But we had $1,000 to our name, and our rent was $875 a month.
Wow.
We also had cable and internet because...
Life.
Life. Yeah. And I wanted my wife to have the comforts of her home. Then she lived in a pretty cushy situation. Like, in a very... My father-in-law worked his butt off to get there. But anyways, I started calling debtors. I'm calling Duke Energy and going, hey, can I give you $15 so that you don't hurt my credit? You don't send me to collections. Calling everybody. Can I give you $10? I'll make it up. I promise. And so we did that for a couple of months as things were really bad. And my wife didn't learn about this for years later. And then ultimately things got better. And better and better and better. And now we are where we are today.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did pay back all the things that we're good. We're good. Credit's
now?
Good.
Okay.
Super good. Cool. Checked it yesterday, actually. Okay. Doing great.
Wow. So that was in the beginning. So you never decided to, like, I'm going to get a restaurant job or I'm going to get a job at McDonald's just to get some bills paid right now?
Stupidly, we probably should have. And I know that there are a lot of people that do that. That's a good question. So we did have we had two sides of the business in the beginning. And we essentially, it still is the foundation of our company today that we are like, all right, we are just going to work. Like I always say, chase work, not money.
Yeah.
And we still do that. And we just kept on working. So we would do things for free and still today do things for free all the time.
Yeah. Do you think that's
all the time?
And do you enjoy that? Do you think it's beneficial?
It is 100%. I can boil our entire business. Heidi, who's to our left, sits here today because of one meeting. I had one meeting with one person that I said, I'll do anything for you forever for free. And she was like, what do you want? I said, you are now my marketing director. Because she was just networked in the areas that I knew that we needed to be networked in.
This is brilliant, yeah.
And I was like, you are my marketing director. You got to start, like, speaking the good word about Rudy and Tammy Harris. And she said, all right, I got one for you today. And so she got us a job that day. And then it kept on going and going and going. And almost every single client I can boil down to that meeting.
Holy shit.
So it worked for us. And there's other people. I've told this story a lot. And a lot of creatives are like, you're selling it short. Like, you're just doing bad things. Like, you're making the market bad. And I'm like, no, dude. Like, it's not. It's such a big market now. Like, it's like the whole, like, artists shouldn't sell themselves short.
Give away
short.
Themselves for free.
And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I get it. Like, mind you, when we say that we do stuff for free now, in the beginning, it was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Now we're strategic about it. And it's stuff that we're passionate about. Like, we do a lot of nonprofit stuff of people that we, like, believe in their mission and all that. Or we'll do, like, severe discounts or whatever, but we never say no. Because to me, I would rather somebody tell 10 of their friends about us or 10 of their business network about us than to go, well, they were good, but, or they're too expensive, or they're too this, too that. I always say that's an asterisk, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be an asterisk. So, like, Barry Bonds is, like, in the record books, but he has an asterisk. Like, yeah, home runs, yeah, he's the king, except for the asterisk, he did steroids.
Yeah.
He was doing enhancement drugs. I want to be a comma. Harris Media is good and. It's that and statement. So we want to be that help to our customers and to our friends and family. And that just is like our philosophy of like, I want to put positivity towards people, like hiring people, affecting their lives in a positive change, good things for other people and friends and family. Like, we just want good things for the world.
Yeah. You know wow. what I mean? Well, that's an incredible business model.
We try.
I mean, have you and Tammy always thought when you guys were – when you lost your job and you were just getting married in those beginning, those hard years, were you guys, did you think immediately, like, we should go into this together? Is that something you guys always wanted, or how did that happen?
Oh, yeah, it was basically, yeah, we're just going to do this. So she went to Antonelli College for photo, for mm-hmm. photography. I went to Brown Mackey College for audio video production. But I started doing photos on the side. Well, we started doing, like, she would do, like, weddings on the weekend. And then I was doing some weddings and portraits and stuff like that. And then so we were like, let's join forces. Let's just do this. We can do this. So we started a business named The Married Photogs, R.I.P. that wasn't part of the name then. It is now. so we did weddings. We were doing 45 plus a year.
Really?
Yeah. 45 plus weddings a year. And we joke, well, I joke, we don't. She always laughs and goes, no, but I'm like, I don't know, maybe. That I always say, we probably wouldn't be married today if we were still doing weddings.
Really? So 45 weddings a year, and you guys like,
crushing.
You guys did not do those for free.
No. Those were all, I mean, that was all whatever, but we also like, that was all for money. That was all to pay the Duke Energy. I had to make up that debt.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. But we built up a pretty good business. We were doing really well. We weren't really having to advertise or anything. It was just cycling through, just word of mouth. But any career is a whole life thing. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. If you're going to be successful in anything, it's going to be your whole life or a large percentage. And if you're not super passionate, like we loved our couples that we would work with. We're still really good friends with a lot of them, like actual really good friends, not like, hey guys, happy wedding anniversary. But it was a whole life job and we eventually became very impassionate about it. We were just like, this can't be life. This can't be, we still call it the Married Photogs dinner. If mm-hmm. we somehow on accident have dinner at like 10 PM, cause that was our life.
Yeah.
Was all right. Well, finally we can stop working. I guess we're going to get White Castle, which happened a lot. 10 o'clock at night. That's what we're going to get. Okay, it was the Married Photogs dinner. We still call it that if that happens. And we're like, man, this is too draining. If we have kids, like, how would we do this? As a couple, like, we have a lot of wedding photographer friends that have a child, but their spouse is not in the business.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. well, be gone today. You're taking over the child today. It's like, how would we do this? So we're like, we can't do this anymore.
Man, but that's great. I mean, you guys have worked together.
10 years.
Yeah, tat-tat-tit-tit-tit? Is that how tat-tat-tat?
I don't know. That feels vulgar.
Does it? No, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That saying, you know, whatever. Yeah. Since the beginning, and it seems like you guys really inspire each other and have like such a strong bond.
We do. My dad, so when we bought the building down in Newport and we were renovating it last year, we had a fight. But our fights...
But you've been married for 10 years.
Hang on. Well, I mean... our fights are, and I'm pretty sure most of our employees have seen a fight or two of us, but our fights, because we've worked together, are so, people will like go, wait, that was it? Like we will have a moment where we disagree.
Yeah.
Like, so we were like, I don't know, we were drywalling or something, and we had this little small argument, and then it was like, oh, nope, you're right. Yep, Tammy, totally, that makes sense. Yep, 100%, you're right. And then my dad literally is like, I hear him like going, you know, something, like rubbing something, like screwing in something in a wall or something. And he turns around and he's like, that was amazing. He's like, you guys work so well together. I was like, well, we've been together every day, all day for business.
Yeah.
And then also for marriage. So it's like, we know how to communicate very well together. And so so it's definitely strengthened the bond. For sure.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, not everybody can say that working with their spouse has strengthened their bond at all.
For sure.
I mean, I would
totally
say the majority can.
Yep.
So you've been shooting and, you know, making, giving these gifts to Cincinnati for a long time now. And, well, like, tell me something that you love about, because you said in the beginning you wanted to travel and you didn't, and you stayed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you see Cincinnati in the Tri-State area through a lens that nobody else does.
That's interesting. So we love to travel, but we'll definitely live here forever.
Yeah.
But, like, doing travel is a big, we didn't get to do it last year, obviously, but for Corona. But that's interesting. I don't know. I think that, have you seen The Good Place? Please tell me you've seen The Good Place.
Shoot. Oh, which so one good. Is it? What is it? Look, which one is
the
it?
The show, Kristen Bell.
No.
Dude, so good. But in one moment in the show, so like there's the good place and the bad place. Obviously heaven and hell, but they don't say that.
Yeah.
And then so she at one point, I won't give away any spoilers, but it's just one line that she just goes, why couldn't I have ended up in like a medium place? Like Cincinnati. And Cincinnati is a medium place. It's not like, so New York, although cool, is like, I don't want to say it's a good place. It's not. It's like a large place.
Yeah.
And a large place, sometimes it's like, I don't want a venti. I just want a grande. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want a grande. I don't need the venti. I need a grande. And then you have like small towns, although there's some charm. You're also like, man, but I would love to have an Indian restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, Cincinnati is a good medium. Like, 10-minute drive, you're in the country.
Yeah, it's
but then
true.
There still is a good downtown vibe. I'm looking at the FC Cincinnati Stadium, literally in your living room. But it's a good medium place that you can still have a small community feel while having some big city and small city charm, if that makes sense. So we just love it. Like when we'll ride bikes during the summer and stuff, and you're just like, it's just a good city. There's so much niceness to it.
You're making me like fall in love with Cincinnati. I'm born and raised here, and I like have never been a huge advocate for it, to be honest. I mean, I love Cincinnati, but I've never been like, move here, I love it. I've always moved away.
And the cost of living.
But you're right. It's all good.
Cost of living's cheaper. It's getting more expensive, obviously, but cost of living is cheaper. It's just a good.
It is. I would
I
say
think it's a good place. I would say a medium place.
A very penetrable city.
Sure.
Like it's easy to get stuff done and to meet people who make decisions and
absolutely.
Like, we're all it's a big little town.
It's a big little town.
Yeah.
You're right.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so like from your perspective, what is something that you can say that like people need to know about of Cincinnati?
Oh,
I just feel like you see it, like you get to see and discover so much and like put your heart into it, you know? And a lot of us are just going through life.
So I would say this is for Cincinnatians and like Cincinnati, so obviously we're from Northern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's still Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's its own little thing, but it's not. We can always say, like, well, I'm from Northern Kentucky. You're from Cincinnati. There's a La Rosa's. There's integrators. You're from Cincinnati. I promise you. You're from Cincinnati. But
that's
there's many La Rosa's.
Yeah.
But the thing that I think a lot of people, I call them suburbanites specifically, and we watch suburbanites try to parallel park in front of our shop all the time. It's fantastic. It's so good. There'll be like six spaces worth, and like, nope, not going to fit. I'm like, what are you doing? It was so anyway. But people from outside of like the more urban or city center, okay, so Cincinnati and the River Cities, Covington, Newport, Bellevue, when people travel in, they look at houses that are maybe a little run down. Mm-hmm. They look at the neighborhood that we're in and they're like trembling.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, where am I? Oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die here.
I mean, we have everything though. Yeah.
And so I even told this to my first apartment was in Covington. Yeah. And my family was just like, oh God. Oh my God. From Highland Heights. I call that milk. It's just milk, like vitamin D, just one note. Out there is one note. And I love it out there, but it's one note. And my dad, me got in arguments. He's like, I can't believe, you know, that's a rough area. He's like, yeah. And it's like, but have you ever noticed that, like, on the news, like, the victim of the crime is oftentimes the photo they choose is their mugshot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in general, if you're in bad things happen.
Yeah.
And 1 in 10 people are crazy anyway. So mm-hmm. It's just there's more people here. So there's more crazy people. It's
exactly.
Fine. It's fine. But anyways, one thing for Cincinnati and the Kentucky residents to know is, just because something has a little grit to it, that doesn't mean the person behind that door is a bad person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, we had this one project, we did it for the city of Covington years ago, where we were living in Covington, but we literally got it ripped off. Like, just because that door needs a coat of paint doesn't mean that's a bad person behind there.
Yeah.
So we walk into this room, we were doing photos of Covington residents, just common, everyday Covington, not like, oh, they own this big skyscraper or whatever. So we walk in, we open this door, and it's just a grandma. But if you, from the outside, if you're driving, it's a rough neighborhood, quote unquote, rough. Oh, this is rough.
Mm-hmm.
We open the door, it's just a grandma. And it was like a Friday, she's getting ready. She's getting the ingredients ready for Sunday morning or Sunday lunch. Because every Sunday, her whole family comes over.
Yeah.
But if you drive past at face value, you go, oh man, this is crazy. So a lot of Cincinnatians on the outskirts, they come to the city center and they're like, yeah, there are more homeless here than there are in Westchester, obviously. Mm-hmm. There is more crime, and arguably there is more crime, but again, there's more people. 1 in 10 people are crazy. It just means that there's more people here, so that's,
yeah,
you know what I mean? A lot of people from the outside, they come in and they're like, and it's until you're in the area much that mm-hmm. you go, wait, there's almost no difference from the outside to the inside. Does that make sense?
It does. No, it does.
It's all just people.
It is.
It's just people.
And it's
chill.
As simple as it sounds, it's like, it's still not that simple. I feel like routinely, I'm still blown away by people's minds that are on the antithesis of what you're talking about. And I'm like, it is 2021. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Can't we all just grow up a little bit here?
Yeah.
You know, give somebody benefit of the doubt. And it even seems like, and even like, so we grew, like growing up, we're the same age, I think, presumably. Mm-hmm. And, I'm from the West Side, suburbs of the mm-hmm, West Side.
Sure.
And so whenever we came down, my parents have been taking us to Finley Market mm-hmm. since the beginning, you know. But it was always like a bad neighborhood when you come downtown, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And I totally lost the train of thought that I was going to say.
I'll wait.
Okay. I was very excited. I was very
this is
going to
be so good.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, right?
Got it.
But like the city that was then no longer exists. It's a totally transformed city. Mm-hmm. It's been gentrified or whatnot, you know?
Yeah,
so
right.
Then like as just like human migration happens, you know, now all those things are happening all over the city. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that sometimes is still ignored. Mm-hmm. You're like, now there's nothing. Like it's kind of happening everywhere. It's like spreading itself out. What are you going to do now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make...
So a thing that my dad used to say all the time, still does, is you only know what you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the problem with, and this isn't a Cincinnati problem, this mm-hmm. is a world problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People get comfortable and they go, I'm only going to expose myself to what I'm... It's Facebook, right? It's that algorithm thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're only being exposed to one thing. So you're only ever going to, but like the second you walk into that grandma's door that you thought was one way and it's a different experience and you expose yourself to like, wait, this is just an 80-year-old grandma who still cooks.
What was her name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But she kind of changed our lives a little bit. Like it definitely made me go, man, this makes me view. And again, we were living in Covington.
Yeah.
We were living in it. And it made me go, wait. There's not a bad person behind every single door that looks a little rough.
Yeah.
It's just and it's also a poor person doesn't have to be bad. A homeless person doesn't have to be bad.
Amen.
It's, you know what I mean? Like people go, oh, well, you're a bad person. And they won't say that.
I know.
If they were, but if they were really honest, which I think we all need to be honest with ourselves, mm-hmm. you go,
Is that an everybody thing? I definitely grew up thinking that and was taught that. And then when I started traveling, whatever, like, that has been gone from my mind forever. But I feel like I forget that some people still, or maybe the majority, are still thinking that.
For sure. So, I mean, I did, for sure. And I wasn't taught that. Like, I wouldn't say that I was taught that, like, let me try that word again, specifically from or a parent. Mm-hmm. It's just, if you only drink milk, you only know the flavor of milk.
Yeah.
And you put a little chocolate in it, and you're like, damn.
Shit,
wait, that's so much better.
Oh, my God.
What was I thinking? But, so, this is a fun fact. I don't think you've heard this story. Heidi and our employees, and everybody knows this story maybe, but listeners don't. I'm Rudy Jr., okay?
Okay.
I'm Alan at my family's house.
They call you Alan?
Alan. Because you can't have the two of the same names in the same room.
And it's not Junior, it's Alan.
Alan.
Is that your middle name?
I wanted to be called RJ for 2 seconds because I had two friends, TJ and BJ, way back in the day. BJ Harold, hashtag. He's not a hashtag. I don't know why I said that. But I was like, that's so cool. I want to be RJ. And I gave it. They gave it a shot for like a day. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to call you that.
Because you can't give yourself a nickname.
Yeah, no. No, you definitely can't. But so I was Alan. Uh-huh. All the way through high school, like all the Campbell counties, all the Camels know me as Alan. If you go out to the county, it's like Rudy. That's his dad.
What?
So, and at my family's house, I'm still Alan. Okay.
Okay.
So Tammy, my wife, does not say my name while we're over there because she's like, she only knows me as Rudy. And people thought that I had like this big like
alter ego.
I'm Rudy now.
Yes.
No, here's the truth. Okay. I was racist. Wait for it.
Like. A bold statement.
I was 100% super unbelievably. All right, so Brown Mackey College, okay?
Uh-huh. Where is Brown Mackey College?
Brown Mackey College, I think my department has been like, there mm-hmm. was like some government stuff. We won't talk about that, but up, not where is that? I don't even know. It's off of 75.
It's in Kentucky.
No. Up north.
Okay.
So like 275, 75, like right around there. Where GE is, it's like right in that area. Glendale, I think, but not Glendale. Glendale, Milford Road. It's on Glendale, Milford Road. Got
cool.
it. Anyways, most of Campbell County and most of the county folk go to NKU. And NKU is a great school. No dig on NKU. But we kind of called it the 13th grade because it was like, that's where you go.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't at that time have a good video thing. My teacher, Mr. Steyer in Campbell County, was like, hey, you're pretty good at video stuff. You could make a career out of this. And this is 2003, 2004 when Facebook and all that wasn't around. And now it's a huge field. It was a small field then. He said, you only need to go to a tech school. If you go to any school at all, just go to a tech school. Like, it's really a trade. Your field is kind of a trade that you're going to learn on the job more than you are in the classroom, which is still kind of true.
Yes. I was like, what excellent advice.
Very much the
same thing.
Oh,
my God. What excellent advice.
We won't talk about that. Yeah. Anyways, that's a whole. I can have a dissertation about
that. I'm like, if anything, so somebody's like, I went to NYU for film and videography. I'm like, sure, back of the line, babe.
The
nobody
amount
cares.
Of people that go to like really amazing schools and then they come to us and I'm like, hey, you don't know anything.
Nothing.
You don't. But mind you, doctors come out of medical school not knowing anything either. So respect, it happens in every field.
Very true.
Anyways. Go to a two-year trade school. There was only two, OCB, Ohio Center for Broadcasting at the time, and Brown Mackey. Those were the only two that offered them locally. So I go from being a 1,300-student school at the time with maybe 2 to 5 students that are not white to going to a school that is predominantly black men and women. And specifically, I say men and women because I was 18 by 2 weeks, the next youngest person there. In my group or whatever, was like 35. So I'm 18 and white amongst a group of black men and women that are in their 40s and like early as 35.
Yeah.
I am fish, not out of water, can't even see water. Where was the water? But I'm petrified.
Fish that never learned how to swim.
I am petrified, okay? And I'm petrified because at the door where the parking lot is, there are 3 or 4 black men smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Just smoking, smoke break. I'm scared to death of these men for no other reason because I have no other reason because they're black.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm saying trembling, I'm trembling.
I can picture young Alan like, oh,
correct.
What,
this
did
Alan.
I,
this is Alan.
What did I do?
So,
oh my God.
What did I do? What did I do? I walk around the school to go in the front door because no one was there because I'm like, I can't. I literally had conscious thoughts of they'll probably hurt me. Mm. I did. I'm comfortable enough now to say I did have that. So I go to my school, go to my class. It's intro to like learning. Like you couldn't test out of it. And I'm like, I just did finals like 3 weeks ago. Like I'm good. I know how to study. And they do the roll call and they say, if you want to be called anything else, let us know. And that's been my whole life. Okay. First grade. There's a Rudy Harris. I like to be called Alan. Like that's my whole life. Okay. But I'm so scared that I cannot muster any words. So when they say Rudy Harris, I raise my hand and I put it down. It's all I can do.
And the rest is history.
Yes. But then at the break, they had a break in the middle of the day, in the middle of the class. Big Daddy Ken. Mm-hmm. Ken Gerardo, he's still around. He's still, we're Facebook friends.
Big Daddy?
Big Daddy Ken. He comes over to me and he sits next to me. And he's a black man. And I've, at this point, had very limited interactions my entire life with anybody that's not white. That is no fault of anybody's other than just being in homogeny. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what's up, Rudu? And I said, hey. And he's like, what department? What program are you in? I said, audio video. He's like, oh, me too. Maybe we'll have classes together. And he said, do you want to do more of the audio or the video? And I was like, wait. And in my brain, I'm like, you don't want to hurt me. Like, yeah. I was like, wait a second. Hang on. So I owe a lot to Ken, actually. Yeah. And I've told him this afterwards, like years after. It's like, you actually like were a really big moment for me to go, hang on. And again, no fault of family, no fault of Campbell County, no fault. It's just homogeny breeds that. And so then all of my classes, it was rare that there was, I don't think I would even say it's rare. At best, it was a 50-50 split of white to non-white. At best. Typically, it was one or two students that were white.
That's, I was like, that seems like a lot.
And the rest were black men and women.
Yeah.
And I realized, I was like, wait, this is kind of better. This is better. Like, I actually, I was like, wait a second. So then I was Rudy. So I became Rudy because I couldn't say, I'd like to be called Alan in class.
Oh,
I just couldn't do it.
My gosh.
So that's the real reason that I'm called Rudy now.
I love that story so much. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's true. Anyways.
You're going to tell that story forever, huh?
I will, because it's important. Like, it honestly, it was important for me, but it's important for everybody to realize, like, just because you're not used to something doesn't mean it's bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, breaking boundaries. Do you feel like you get opportunities to do that with Rudy Harris Media now? Like, would you...
What do you mean? Say that again. Ask the question.
You were saying how just because someone's different, you know, or whatnot, you know.
Oh, sure.
I mean, do you feel like you get to do that, portray that through film?
Sometimes.
And tell stories?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we get to do some really cool projects sometimes. A lot of times. Like, we have very good clients, and we get to do some really interesting projects where we get to sort of peek behind the curtain and see what life is really like for people, which is fun.
How do you feel about the market now being so oversaturated and that, going back to what we were saying, now with social and everyone has a phone, you know, everyone is a photographer now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's making videos, literally everyone. How do you feel like that is affecting two parts, your business and also the world?
So our business is better because the market's bigger.
Really?
Of course. And that's true with anything if you're doing it in excellence. Okay. That's true with any field if you're doing it in excellence.
Okay.
Having more restaurants in a city doesn't mean that your restaurant, unless it's bad, is a bad thing. It means it's a good thing. That means more people are going to come to eat.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
If the market's bigger, the market's bigger. You have to differentiate yourself. You have to tell your value statement. You have to say, why are you better than just going to the kid that just came out of college? And if the kid that just came out of college beats you, not just on price, but makes a better product, and you've been around for 40 years, well, that's time to just self-evaluate. Like, well, what am I doing wrong?
You have no ego.
No, this is absolutely not. This, like, is, I have no ego about that. Like, it's like, you got to just be better. And if someone's better than you, find out why and learn, no matter what age you are. So we have had people.
You know, not everybody does that, like, at all. That's something that I've learned in media so far.
Correct.
Trying to make moves like that when you... you know, I'm just saying hypothetically here, trying to make moves like that when you are on a team and work for somebody else is difficult to do. So this is awesome.
Yeah. If the market's bigger, it's better for you, unless you're set in your ways and you won't change. And we battle that. I battle that on, like, Facebook groups that I'm on all the time. People come at me hard when I say I do free work.
Oh my God. Number one, that's great. Hard. Haters are a good sign.
It is.
But so other people in your field, like other
for sure.
like professional video makers?
Yeah, I mean it happens.
I mean, what do you call yourself?
Well, so I'm not really a videographer or anything. So. And honestly, if someone says like, "Hey, I know a good videographer. It's Rudy Harris." I'm like, "I mean, I have no like there are some people like, "I'm not a video no, I'm not like that."
Yeah.
It's just we have a business now. It's just not me and Tammy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have five other employees. We have seven people on salary at our company now. So it's not just me. Hey, thanks. Thanks for that little applause. If there were more people here, I'm sure there would be more applause. But no, I'm just kidding. They're hoisting me on their shoulders. But anyways, so yeah, it's better for us if the market's bigger. We have to be better. That means we have to be saying, why are we better? How are we better? And through that, like what we do is we create content for ourselves. We always have. We'll do stuff we want to do. Every time we've done stuff that we want to do just for fun, for giggles, it always comes back that we get work from it because people go, wow, I saw the passion that you want to do. So
yeah.
I tell people, we have so many college students come out and they want to talk to me and they want to, which is flattering, but I'm also like, man, I just work. Like, we just work. Like, work. Like, what's the last thing you shot? Oh, I don't have a camera. You're a liar. You have a cell phone.
Yeah.
You're a liar. I've seen some amazing cell phone films.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Films.
Shut up.
That won Oscars.
Yeah, films. Shut up. Yeah. You know how to do this.
Yeah, like you 10 years ago.
There is no, like, the boundary for me when I first started, there was a big boundary to have a high quality video.
Yeah,
there was
right?
a huge, it was expensive. Now it's not. You have it on your phone. Go do it.
Do you remember when the Red camera came out and it
for
was
sure.
like the biggest deal?
Right.
And then literally like the next year, iPhones came, like cell phones had like
right.
really nice cameras yeah. on them. I just remember when the Red came out, it was like, and mm-hmm. I remember like me just like being interested,
yeah.
saw it in like $1,000 was so much money to me at the time.
Like
and I was
$100,000.
Like, yeah, no, but the Reds came out and they were cheaper.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
it was like, wow, now like people can take out like a small loan and get
sure.
a camera that costs less than a car.
Yeah.
And it was like a big deal.
Well, so once Canon put film or video on their SLRs, that like busted the whole bubble
yeah.
and made everybody a filmmaker. And I'm going to say this with respect, but the old timers got pissed.
Yeah.
But in reality, there was no reason to be upset. Again, it's that if you're not adapting, it's adapt or die is true in every
everything,
single field
yes.
and everything in the world. Adapt or die. You have to change or you're going to be left behind. You
yeah.
have to change. Change is good. It's not bad. But anyway, So because the market's bigger, everything's better. Back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that the saturation of content. How do I say this? The saturation of content can lead to be negative.
Yeah.
Because people who are, and this is not a dig at intelligence, okay, that are ignorant to film, to video, to the power of it. They don't understand that anybody can say anything they want and it be presented as truth. They also don't understand editing techniques. Like, for instance, me and my wife are binging on Survivor on Hulu, like, basically every season. Like, we just churn through it, man. Oh, my gosh. And Tammy, now working in this mm-hmm. field, we know. Like, you can watch it. If
yeah.
you know how editing works, you go, oh, I know what's going to happen at the end of this episode.
Yep.
So it kind of ruins it for you a little bit.
Yeah.
But even like the cutaway shot of a snake eating this. Well, that's because someone is about to backstab somebody. They only show that because of this. And then also you can hear audio glitches. I know you always probably hear this where it's like, that was added later. That didn't happen
always.
On set.
Always.
So I think that the saturation of content, I think this is inarguable in my view, the saturation, because there's so much, people just take things as fact, as face value.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very crucial about that. And even in college at Brown Mackey, I did a speech or whatever, I forget what it was, but what it was called, what class it was, but I basically presented the hypothesis that the media doesn't tell you what to think, but it does tell you what to think about.
You
know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily tell you what to think, but it tells you what to think about.
Do you think that's still true in like the TikTok era?
For sure.
Like, I know, like in my, you're saying change or be left behind, and I'm like, I just like sunk in my chair because I like hate making TikToks and like mm-hmm. so much, but it's kind of like you have to, there's
yeah.
no option and I cannot do it. I hate the app. I open it and I get a headache away. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel old.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And I also think it's like really detrimental in a negative way to humans and around the world. For sure. I'm like, this is ruining us. I don't want any part of this.
For sure.
But yet I have to. It's like a tough thing. Anyway, but I say that because TikTok videos now, in such a short time, will like teach lessons or tell a story in 20 seconds. And it's just some kid on his cell phone doing it. And when you say they meet, what did you say? Media doesn't tell you what to do. It
doesn't tell you what to think. It tells you what to think about.
Like, do you think, sometimes I feel like that is maybe, like, I'm seeing it go, it's telling you exactly what to think in the TikTok era.
Yeah, I think so. So like, the way I, what I'm meaning by that phrasing is, like, okay, so if you watch, let's watch Channel 9 tonight. How many news stories, newsworthy stories are there in Cincinnati today happening? Probably 100,000.
We got one right here.
Right now.
This is A plus.
Absolutely. But we're going to get 10 stories. And if you watch ABC Nightly, NBC Nightly National, it's 30 minutes covering the world.
Yeah.
No, obviously that's not everything that happened in the world or the most important part, probably. But somebody decided this is the most important thing. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So you're starting to think about it. And so now that topic grows. It's even like the Johnson & Johnson thing, like six. And that's
six.
Out of millions. And that's not to say super sad for the six. Super bad, terrible. And maybe if there's more, if there's 50, if there's 100, super bad. But out of like, why are we talking about that?
I know.
And it's, you. So that's the way I think when I think immediate. But so the market being bigger is better for my business. However, the market being bigger in the sense of just content, 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 the constant scroll, the constant feed is definitely a bad, I think is a bad thing. And I think is inarguably a bad thing, that it's just relentless visual. Like, you have to put down the phone. Like, we all have to. I'm guilty. It's like practice what you preach. I'm guilty of it. I am 100% just scrolling all the time. I've seen that story from my friend about their dog 30 times today, and yet I'm still on the damn phone.
Yeah.
Turn off the phone. So it's definitely, it's a good and bad for business. But so what we want to do when we make our content is we purposely don't do projects that we view as putting negativity. We have said no to projects that's like, nope, I'm not in on that. And then we'll go through who, what, when, or where of that. But we only want to do things that are doing good things for the world.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So we don't just marketing for the sake of it is fine. But I think having some sort of positivity, and it's interesting that most of our clients, or not even most, all of them do something positive.
Yeah.
They have a positive edge to it. Like, it's just interesting how it's happened for us.
And do you think that that factor right there, I feel like that factor right there is going to save media, and that's like thoroughbred, because there's so much crap now. You're like, the ones doing good, human beings, natural human inner, I mean, human nature is to be attracted to stuff like that.
For sure. I agree.
So going through all these projects, so we did a project together recently. It was so much fun being a part of it.
Yeah, it was cool.
I felt my mad props that my boss was incredibly impressed.
Oh, really?
She thought it was really important with all of your equipment you brought. And I was like, yeah, sure. Awesome.
Checked your nails.
That was great. So, like, do you have a project in mind that you kind of go back to that you use as a model of what you've learned in, like, I want to make more content like this. I did this. I'm proud of this for X, Y, and Z. And we need to keep doing stuff like this. Are you like to go back to?
Interesting. So there are quite a few that we go back to that are like, we typically, and this is kind of a studio, not just me, but almost everybody at the studio likes this as well, these sorts of things as well. It's documentary style.
Yeah.
We like that, telling people's real stories. One for St. Elizabeth Healthcare, we work a lot with them. One that we did years ago was for their health ministries. So they have a whole area of St. Elizabeth that they actually send nurses out to the community. It's like once a week. People come and they get free healthcare. Absolutely free. You know, it's like checking blood pressures, making it, it's amazing. They never really told that story, and they finally said, let's tell that story. And we made a video that, like, literally, if I watched it today, I would cry. Like, I've watched it a million times. I did not edit it. I shot it. Lindsay Michaels, our artistic director and senior editor, she edited it. And that is so tough to say. It really
you
is.
Did a great
edited
job.
It's amazing. It's super good. So that one is one that we really, really love. We've done many other projects with St. E that are like, we love how these turned out. They just tell a really good story. and they bring positivity, right? So they're bringing that positivity. I mean, our value proposition statement that's on t-shirts. I meant to bring you a t-shirt. Dang it. I'll get you one. But creating positivity with resolution. So that's one of our things. That's what we say all the time. But documentary-wise, though, we have done, like, short ones. We did the long one, like Harvey Like Sun, which was amazing and super fun. We go back to that, and we, like, especially crew, we all go back, like, man, that was so fun. Like, it was fun to do it.
Yeah.
And it went pretty well. Everything went pretty well with that. But then even we like making funny, quirky stuff a lot. Like, we've done stuff with Road ID where we had a man dressed as a dog to advertise their pet ID, so their pet tags. So, yeah, those are, like, the projects that we go back to that have either been, like, really funny, really weird and quirky and fun, but also the documentaries, though. But in reality, like, and I've said this a million times, said this on the way over here, I get the most pride from watching our employees grow.
Yeah.
And that means in professional manner, but that also means, like, so Lindsay, to bring her back into it, when she told me that she was buying a house, one, I felt like I had another mortgage, and, like, low-key, like, oh, God, now I'm responsible for another place. Yeah. Oh, no. But in reality, I'm like, that's amazing that something that in 2011, being fired from that job, calling Duke Energy and pleading, let me pay you $10, working through all that, and then I might get a little emotional here.
Yeah.
But for real, I do. I cry easier in the morning, so I should have done this the afternoon. I do. It's funny. Like, Boy Meets World, just bawling in the morning. An episode, a good hit from Family Matters. I'm in. Anyways, but all that work that we did to then support somebody to buy a house is, like, amazing. And so for me, it's like, that's what this is all about. It's not, otherwise it's vanity. If I go, I had this, let me pump my chest, and we had this amazing thing that did this and blah, blah, blah. That's just vanity.
Yeah.
In reality, at the end of the day, that's vanity. I won this award. My film went to Aspen Mountain Film Festival. Hashtag Henry, how we met. I don't know if I'm saying a hashtag a lot. Is it still cool? It's probably not cool anymore.
Who gives a fuck anymore?
I'm not sure I actually know what's cool.
I don't either.
But I can tell projects that were really good. Oh, millions of views on this. And this went to this. And this ROI for my client was, like, they made so much money from this ad that we made for them. But in reality, all that's vanity. But affecting Lindsay's life and Maria's life and Max's life and Heidi's life. And then our freelancers, Brandon, Joe, Micah, all these huge amount to affect them in a positive way is way cooler.
Wow.
I like that stuff.
I just got the chills a little bit. I just interviewed a man when I was in Alaska named Bernie Carl. And when I asked him, he has been through, like, he's lost millions and he had to pay back $11 million once. And then he's been up and down the spectrum, you know? And now he's doing great. When I ask him what his tactics, he's like, learn from your people. Let your people grow and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that is what I've learned more than anything. He didn't have any formal education. This man never went to school.
Amazing.
His parents taught him math and how to read. He never went to formal education.
That's awesome.
And it's like the same thing of, like, you just watch your people grow and then you grow with them.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's cool. That's definitely, we, me and Tammy, like, I mean, we're probably going to have to hire somebody again in the very near future because our volume is very high, and that's great. That's a good thing. That's not a brag or a flex. It's just like, this is awesome. And it is only possible through our people. Like, and that stuff drives me crazy too when people are like, it's me, me, me. I'm like, listen, millionaire, billionaire, whatever. You literally, Bezos, you're only a billionaire because of your employees. Period. Only. Without them, you can't. Without them, you can't. I promise you. So if you have anybody, yes, you worked your ass off. Respect Bezos. Respect everybody. But without your people, you did not get where you are, period. Nobody, the whole self-made anything, I think is a lie.
I agree.
You worked, there is no amount of words I can describe how much those men and women that are at that level have worked to get there. Fully understand that. But without people supporting that, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
So you have to have that balance of, like, work your ass off, but realize that you still can't do everything to get to where you want to be. Does that make sense?
It does, 100%. Did you, let's see, what's it called? Like, not negotiating, but, like, giving out tasks to people. Has that been a hard thing for you as you watch your biz grow?
That's interesting. No.
Delegating.
Delegating, no. Sometimes, like, especially when an employee is new, mm-hmm. like, did you do this? And they'll be like, yes, you told me to, so I did it. Stop. So that happens. Like, it does. I fully get that. Like, there is a control element that it is, because this has been like such a, this is such a huge thing for me and my wife and our future and everybody else's future. But in the beginning, it wasn't, because we just got so busy. Like, we got one big contract and we're like, okay, we have to hire people. Like, immediately had to hire people. And it was such a huge contract that I couldn't at all micromanage it. I had to be like, you just have to do it. I'll check in a little bit, but you just have to go. Like, I do not have time for it. So you just go. So that sort of made it easier. Mm-hmm. But there is still, like, I'll still, like, check in, obviously. It's not that I'm just, like, coming in late and whatever. It's still, we're still working. You know? I mean, I got to work at, I don't want to be like that guy, but I got to work real early today to finish up a project so I could come here and talk with you so that I can go back and finish up the project. And
you know,
so.
I was talking to my brother last night. He runs an office, and now our youngest brother, the youngest of five, this is his first graduating from UC this month and got his first job working in my brother's office. Doesn't work in my brother's department or anything, but my brother runs the whole office, but he's there, right? That he said, I've never heard one person, when it's all said and done, when they're older in their years, regret working harder than everybody else. I've never met one person regret working hard.
Yeah,
ever.
For sure.
And he's like, maybe people say that they mismanage their time, and like they you know, those people, he's like, that's not the same thing as hard work.
Yeah,
it's like, that's not the same. So always working harder.
Yeah,
like, you're right, bro, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the industry that I'm in specifically too, it is like, with colleges in mind, there's, you know, four or five major universities. They all now have the same, this department, the video media department, and every one of them is graduating 20 to 50 or whatever amount of kids every year. Yeah. And most of them want to stay. A lot of them want to stay. Well, most of them, some of them think I'm going to go to LA, and it's like, yeah, guess what?
You
either have to be a visionary in Cincinnati. You have to be a visionary or work your ass off. That's it. And visionary meaning, like, to a level. I mean, Spielberg, and I brought this up in a group, like, I hate when people bring up Spielberg. I'm like, but he is the true measure of success, that he literally just snuck on movie sets, has no training, snuck on movie sets, and now he's Steven Spielberg. Like, yes, that is, you know, whatever. That's the cream of the crop. But it is, you have to work your butt off. You have to work so hard in our industry or any industry that it honestly makes me mad when I see talented people that don't want to work. It makes me mad, or they only want to work on cool things. They don't want to put in the grunt work. They don't want to. We still do grunt work. We still do projects that you're like, right, this was just, for our clients, it's very important, and we love our clients and we want to come through for them in every way possible, but it's not to these young college kids. And this sounds like I'm like 90, like, these kids these days, but they want to do just the cool stuff that they see on the Twitters and the TikToks. Yeah. And I only want to do movies. Cool. Everybody on that set worked their butt off for many years to get there. It's not an instant in. That piece of paper, and that 4 years or 6 years or 8 years or whatever you trained out of school is not a guarantee. I promise you it's not.
Not at all.
And
not
most of the people that are working on those sets don't have degrees.
Yeah.
They just started working, and they worked really, really hard. A lot of them do. Probably most maybe do. I don't know. I've never been on those sets. We don't do film. We do marketing and media and commercial and corporate. But you have to work so hard, and I get annoyed when people don't, when they're just like, oh, I've graduated, so I guess it's my time now. It's like, it's not. I promise you, you have to work hard.
I know. I feel like that gets lost. I feel like it always has, like, gotten lost. Or you just think, like, I love, like, in my life, whatever, you know, like, I met so many people along the way that are, like, taking gap years or doing whatever. Like, I was, like, kind of a travel vagabond for a long time. And so many people would, like, not want to work in the tourist industry and weren't working hard. And I always had like five jobs. Yeah. It was just like, I barely sleep, but it's fine. I don't know. But like, no, but I did well in it. And some people were always, the ones who didn't work hard enough would always be like sitting around like, I'm going back to school. Then they'd go get some crazy graduate degree. And I'm like, y'all are like, and you're paying for this. And some, not all of them came, not all of them were trust fund babies. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
no, no, no. I'm going to go clean that floor.
For sure.
So
it's weird to me. Like, it's like, if I wanted to be a chef, if I wanted to be a cook, like a chef, and I know I have very many, a few friends that are chefs, mm-hmm. notable chefs in Cincinnati. It would be like trying to be a chef and not cooking on your own.
Yeah, oh, that's a great analogy.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Okay, you want to be in media. Let me see the most recent project. Oh, it was in school and you've been out for 2 years? Well, you suck.
Right?
Instantly, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to create content every day.
You know what?
You should be creating something every day.
I had a moment like that that sticks out of my mind. One of my friends, Emily Ballou, in Telluride, Colorado, were at the bar one night, and I'm like drinking and like kind of like lying a little bit about like, I work in media, do all this stuff, blah, 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 whatever. I had like 20 jobs, but none of them were like actually like what I'm doing now.
Right.
She just looks at me point blank, and her and I are the same age, but she's been a professional woman, and this woman hustles. She just looks at me like we're having fun, and she goes, well, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And I could say nothing. And I was mm-hmm. like, right there, I learned like, y'all better shut your mouth now, and you better actually do what mm-hmm. you say you're going to freaking do.
That and
we're
the
still
other side.
Great friends.
That's
yeah.
awesome. There's the other side where people will brag on things like today. This happened many years ago. Again, people come to us and they want to learn how we've done things. How have you getting these clients? Like, tell me how to do this. And it's always just like, work. What have you done? Oh, I haven't done anything. Well, that's your problem. You have to work. You have to cook if you want to be a chef, mm-hmm. period. Probably I'd put him, and I'm not going to say his name just out of respect, because I'm kind of going to diss him for 2 seconds, probably top five photographers in the city, top 5 to 10. Brilliant. Such a visionary. And even at this time when he was very young and just starting, so good, way better than me. Totally am comfortable enough to say he is way better than I was then and still am.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good. He comes to me and he asks, how are you getting these clients? And I said, how old are you? And I forget what age he was at the time. And I said, cool. I've been working in this field since you've been 6. That's how I'm getting this stuff. I've been working professionally since you were 6.
Yeah.
That's how. It takes time. It takes a long time to start doing this stuff. It takes a lot of work. But then he goes, well, I mean, you know, I've been published. I've been this. And he starts to like do these brags and these flexes. And I said, all right, let me stop you. Where have you been published? Where have you been? Cover of Time? And he goes, well, no. And I said, what was it? He goes, well, my friend has a blog.
Oh, like, my God.
But hold on. I was like, cool, what blog? Because if it's like a just, no, of course it was just
you're,
like.
This is an asshole flex move of you, and I'm loving all
and so
of it.
I said, don't say that to working professionals unless it's something you can back up.
Yeah. If it's don't not Nat Geo, no one gives a fuck.
Correct. And so what I said is, I can tell you that I have been published. I was the cover of a nationally distributed magazine. Published, I was the cover. And he goes, that's cool. I said, I don't have to say it was the cover of American Funeral Directors magazine. I don't have to tell you that. Sounds cool. And I said, what you just did, and mind you, actually, that photo is like really dope, and I love that photo still.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's still cool. Dope's still cool, right, too?
I think so.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway,
I still say
we're looking at the young person
yes,
in the room, going,
young.
Hey, Heidi, is it cool?
Is
She's
it
like,
cool? You think so? What else should I say? What else is.
She says fresh.
I like fresh is coming back. Rad.
That one's not. That one's not.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Rad never went out for me. I've been saying rad this whole time. Rad slaps. Hey.
Yeah. You want me to get your walker? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways. But yeah, so I was just like, just don't do that. Like, just only brag when it's like cool.
Yeah.
Work real hard and brag when it's cool. But also be humble and say, yo, I got. It was my friend's blog. Just be humble and say, I want to work. We also, when we were hiring, we've hired 4 people since October. So one of the 2 were replacements and then 2 were new hires, which is great. Amazing growth. Awesome. Excited. But one of the resumes I got, this was a young man. Very nice. But when he met with me, I looked at his resume. I said, okay, you put on here production assistant. Respect. Cool. Production assistant in New York. So what does that mean? He said, well, I was in New York and I was a production assistant. Okay, well, what were the projects or the company or whatever? Well, my friend's a photographer and we drove up one day and I was like, and you carried his camera? He's like, yeah. And I said, dude, just say I'm hungry. Just say,
yeah.
I don't have any experience, but I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I would hire you right now. I would hire you right now to at least come on set with us right now. I'll give anybody a shot. We will. We're very picky. You have to be not an idiot a little bit, but but you don't have to be super knowledgeable or anything, but I'll give you a shot for sure. But I was like, just be honest and be humble. Don't be like, so I was like, I can say I was a director in New York many times because I've directed shoots in New York, but also what does that mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Cool.
Which is another thing to see how the industry has really shifted, because that's no longer, because mm-hmm. films used to only be made in New York. Things used to only happen in right. LA, and like yep. you had to go there, but that's not how it is anymore. No, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But it was a weird flex.
Yeah, dude. Damn. Mm. Well, Rudy, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it was fun.
I like your weird flexes. I could listen to you talk all day long, you know?
Well, okay. Heidi, go home. No, I'm just kidding.
I was I do good. Not want to go to work. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Like in person? Right now? Do you want me to tell your address? On the, no. So our website, which is actually being redone right now, is harrismediaco.com. We also are on Facebook, Instagram, just at Harris Media Co.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was going to say, yeah, thank you so much. Like, okay, yeah. I hope you guys do more documentary films.
Me too.
I really do.
Me too.
You're really good at it, and thanks. It's really awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, we've always liked documentary. We'll get it going. Where? We got to go do work. That's for everybody. Go do work. Go.
All right, man. Oh, my God. This was so rad. And there we go. That's Rudy Harris. He's a great guy. He's a stand-up guy. I love working with him. If you guys are interested in working with him or just checking out his stuff, totally worth it. You can find him on Instagram. That's Harris Media Co. And also his personal at Rudy Harris Photo. Let's see online. Their website is HarrisMediaLLC.com. Again, congratulations to he and his wife, Tammy, on having a baby. And if you like the podcast, like, subscribe, do all those things. Got another episode for you coming up soon. But until then, whatever it is you do today, make yourself proud. And also remember, like, subscribe, share, do all those things. You can always get at me at natalie@wkrq.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's one.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.